I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/acast. That's burrow.com/acast. burrow.com/acast.
I'm Shannon Feltus.
I'm Bonnie Dutch.
And this is
You Are That.
We are two sisters who cannot take a compliment.
Nope.
Today on our awesome podcast, we have an even more awesome guest, Miss Allison Rosen, that you might know from one of the many podcasts she herself hosts. Lots of people will know this amazing human from Allison Rosen Is Your New Best Friend. Mm-hmm. But I tuned into one episode of that because of Allie Ward. She was your guest. This was eons ago.
And she's our pod father.
Yeah. Delightful and wonderful. And we love her. I sidestepped. I'm a childish follower. I'm like hardcore the children. I'm one of y'all's.
Bibbis.
I don't know. If we're in peer range, I feel like it's weird to call myself one of your children. But
I know. We began to feel like, because for a little while, we're like, what do we call our listeners? Do we call them kids, children? I think we began to feel like that's like some cult leader shit.
I liked it, but it did feel a little odd. Your brood. That was another fun one I thought about.
Ooh,
I was
like, that's good.
That's kind of cute. I have to confess, I am one of your chicken people, and you have shared my chicken sex knowledge on your show.
I was
fucking honored. I'm the Shannon from Oregon that talked to you about cloacas and
yes.
How roosters have a lot of hoes. Like, it was a serious.
Small world.
I know, I'm fangirling.
Those were heady times.
Yeah, we were in it.
I wish we were still in the chicken sex season of the podcast. And I think we could bring it back because I think it started because we wanted to know, like, how many times do chickens have sex to create eggs per, encounter?
And then it got real in the weeds. But then I also really drummed up some of my ologies knowledge because I talked about cloacas and how chickens mate by touching buttholes. And that is a straight up Allie Ward Passover.
I didn't even know that. No, I know that's how they do it, but I didn't realize that came straight from Allie Ward.
Right. I saw it with my eyes because my chickens are whores.
I saw it with my eyes. Your whore chickens, like, just putting on a show.
Whore house back there. It's great. They're just cranking out eggs all day long.
Now I'm just picturing other things touching butts.
Right? Just butt smooching. It's,
Yeah, that is a meat cute.
But wait, does a chicken have a penis?
Nope.
Mm-mm. Not at all. So
they
how
have a weird little node that secretes a gross thing, and then they smooch butts with the hen, and then the fluid goes up where it's supposed to go.
Interesting. A little node.
Yeah.
So, okay. So I had...
It's gross.
I had a chicken. I've had two chickens in my life, and I had ducks when I was little, and cockatiels.
Ducks are Satan.
Really? No,
yeah,
I'm...
Yeah, Shannon hates duck singies.
Really?
She's like a real hater.
Oh. We're like neighbors that don't agree. Ducks are like, you stay in your yard. I've been attacked by some ducks. Some of them walk laying down. Some look like bowling pills. I find them suspicious.
I can get on board with the hatred of geese because geese are
universal.
Just notoriously like mean, and they will attack your legs and they honk. But some of my best friends have been ducks. I love a duck.
I love that. And I want to wear it on a shirt.
Some of my best friends have been ducks.
Yeah. I just want people to stop me and ask about it so I could turn around and go, this isn't any of your business.
This isn't about me.
Get
this
out
is
of
about
my
our
shirt.
Friend, our best friend, in fact, Allison Rosen.
Oh, so wait, I wanted to ask though, when I was little, I remember like when I'd get a new bird, they wouldn't be able to sex the bird, which sounds so wrong, until it's of a certain age. But then the way they do it is they like turn it over and look at its area that a tiny duck bathing suit would cover. But if they all have just cloacas, what are they looking for?
They kind of smush it a little bit and there's a node if it's a
duck.
But it's harder to do
so
on chickens.
You smush the butt. You have to like get in there and feel for like a little marble.
It's like just a little.
Why am I asking?
I don't know, dude. Why am I showing you with my hands?
I don't know.
Okay. So. Yeah, just picture you flip over
some
the bird.
Some of my best friends have been ducks.
I like that better. We should go back to where we were all best friends with ducks. This is better. Oh, God. I don't know if ducks you can sex by flight feathers, but chickens you can. So that's all I use. Or I just wait for them to crow or lay and call it good.
Got it. And I remember with cockatiels, there's like a different pattern on the actual feathers.
That's some of the chickens, too.
Yeah.
This could be a bird podcast if we let it.
You guys want me to leave?
No. Sorry.
You want me to go?
Why do you hate birds, Bonnie?
I don't hate birds. I love them. And I'm like, sure, a blue one. That is like, that's my extent of it. And that's, I'm fine with that.
We got hardcore into the bird watching app for a little tiny bit.
You did. You told me about it all the time. I mean, every time you came to my backyard and you were like, oh, that's a blah, blah, blah. Ew, you want this app?
I'm
you can
nerd.
Hear the call. And I said,
nah.
Remember I told you the other day, that I felt like the birds were mocking me with their happiness?
Right. Yeah.
I went outside and the birds were chirping, but they got like so heavy in it. Like there were so many that I was like, I get it. Fuck off. They were mocking me. The sun came through. The birds were loud. And I was like, instead of snow whiting it up in my neighborhood, I was just like, give me a break.
Yeah. Read the room, birds.
Right? Not everyone's happy in your noise. Okay. So that was the longest, bestest meet cute we've ever had. And we haven't even met face to face. And I will again announce, Miss Allison Rosen, thank you so much for being on our podcast today. And welcome to You
Are That. Welcome. Do you want to tell all the people a little bit about you?
Yes, please.
Sure. So I host Allison Rosen as Your Best Friend. And I host Childish. And I live in Southern California. And I am married. And I have a 4-year-old and a 2-year-old and a dog. I no longer have ducks or chickens, although I really would like to have chickens. But there's kind of a coyote problem in Burbank, at least according to Nextdoor. And I feel like that would just be inviting this situation.
Oh, that's 100%. That's a snack, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was born in Oakland, grew up in Orange County, lived in New York for a number of years. Before I moved to New York, I played guitar in a girl punk band.
Of course you did. You're cool.
And before this weird podcasty career, I was a journalist and I worked for magazines for years. And then I started doing some TV broadcasting type stuff. And then I started experimenting. I was like, really like going on television and I have a blog. So what if I just recorded myself in my apartment doing book reviews and doing this or that? And that kind of turned into what if I had like a little YouTube show? And then that turned into what if I did a live interactive streaming show? And I called that Allison Rosen's Your New Best Friend. And that was in 2009 or 2010. Then I moved to California, started working on the Adam Carolla show, brought my show back as a podcast. And then I've been doing that ever since. So that's me.
I love it.
Dope. You're so good at that.
Oh, thank you.
Like people are like, tell us about yourself. We're like, we're related.
Here's my reel. Here you go, right here.
I have to say, you guys have been instrumental in my turning a corner because in general, when I have to like tell anyone about myself or especially my tragic flaw, I have so many tragic flaws. I feel like in a Shakespearean sense, you really should just have one. But one of my, like I am so bad at writing promo copy or bios or any of that stuff. What I did just now felt good. So I'm just
really
going to like, I'm just going to direct anyone who has a question to this podcast.
I'll transcribe that for you and send
Thank
it over
you.
Your resume.
Thank you.
No, that was really solid. I'm bad at that too, so I get that.
Oh, I had to write in third person in college when I went to art school because they were like, here's how you write a bit about yourself. But then I was writing about myself and my whole thing for my class was like, she's just so stunningly beautiful and remarkable and because it was a filler for like a website thing we were doing. So I was like, I'm in a web class. Who cares?
Right.
So I wrote this whole thing and then I got an A++ for confidence.
Oh my God.
I was like, I don't really feel this way about myself. You made me write in third person.
You
so I was like,
sarcastic asshole status. And they were like, for you, girl.
She's going to go places.
Wait, do they really grade you on confidence?
No, but it was like the teacher was just like, oh, girl, I see you. Someone read this is what he acknowledged. And I was like, oh, shit.
That's really sweet. I didn't think.
Yeah. My layout was done in visual thirds. I thought I was going to get an A+ on structure, but no, he gave me A++.
My only tip for writing about yourself as a business person, write about your team instead, even if you're just one person.
Oh, that's
everything's
good.
Everything's a we. Yeah. And everything, talk about it like you're a brand, but not like your brand is an asshole.
Yeah.
Like, talk about it like we, and we're positive, and we're on board. If you replace all the me's with we's, you feel like less of a tool.
That's what I do in our Facebook group when I reply as us. We loved that cartoon as a kid.
We did, but...
What's a weird thing that's tangentially related to all of this is, have you ever talked to someone's assistant but you're like, I feel like there's this assistant doesn't exist, like
have you called my business and that was me, because I've done that
when you're
I've been my own assistant.
I think she's in a meeting, let me check really quick, right. It's like, no, this was, I just talked to you,
right. Yeah, exactly. This guy pitched himself as a guest on my show, and then we exchanged a couple emails. And then his assistant reached out from the same email address. But I was like, this is you. Like, we both know this is you this whole time, right? I can't be sure, but I just had a strong suspicion that it was him.
You're building rapport with someone. Why would you schlep it off? Switch like, now this person is less important and you can talk to my assistant. That doesn't make you more important.
Yeah.
I don't know. It was very weird.
Did you ever have him on the podcast?
I did. And I didn't ask him. I didn't ask him about it.
He just did it backwards. He's just practicing.
He signed it off the same. It was like XOXO assistant.
Oh, good.
Like, bro. Well, I'm going to piggyback off of you explaining you, and we're going to hop into questions.
Yes.
Some will be nostalgic. Some will be daydreamy. We really just want to get into childhood Allison and have you conjure up some wild memories you may have forgotten.
Ooh, that sounds fun. And daunting.
It is both. Are you ready?
Idea of it. Always daunting. But then you're like,
it's so fun.
So you became a professional writer, like straight out the gate into adulthood. Like 18 years old, you just started rocking and writing. And you've written for like Rolling Stone and People Magazine and Maxim. I want to know, what was like your childhood dream job? Did you always want to come out the gate and do journalism? Or did you have like astronaut girl dreams?
The funny thing is, because it's so non-glamorous, when I was 6 years old, I announced that I was going to be a psychiatrist. So that was my very first aspiration.
I want to meet your family now for some reason. I want to see where this seat's from.
I want to meet 6-year-old you.
Oh, everyone. My grandfather was a psychoanalyst, and like my whole family's thing is just analysis and overanalyzing people. And I mean, I have said before that I think that psychiatry is like my family's religion, because we're very non-religious, grew up no religion, but like the thing that everyone in the family believes in is psychology and psychiatry, which made a lot of sense to me growing up. I mean, and I'm in therapy, and therapy has helped me enormously. And I feel like everyone, if they have the means, should avail themselves of therapy, because everyone can be helped by it.
We are pro therapy. Absolutely.
That being said, I think that there was a lot of like leaning too heavily into these sort of neat little over analyses of why people are being certain ways and things like that. Like, I think that it was too much in my family. But I wanted to be a psychiatrist when I was 6. And then the next thing that I wanted to be, I think, was an actress.
Oh, nice.
And I remember my mom saying to me, I think you should be a writer or a director, and something behind the camera. And like, what I took from that was, she doesn't believe in me. She doesn't think I can do it.
And she's like, be a smarter girl.
She was like, make more money and be in charge, bitch.
Yeah.
No, I just felt like, oh, you don't think I have what it takes. But she was like, no, it's just that I think you're so smart. Like, you're too smart for that.
Mm-hmm.
And now I don't know if that was like a good catch on her part or if that was real.
That's awesome.
I know in 8th grade, we had to write like, what will your life be like in, was it 25 years? Or I can't remember.
Those
something
are my
like that.
Favorite to find in scrapbooks.
Yeah.
Really?
And I lived somewhere wildernessy. Like, so I was 13 when I wrote it. I had like a million pets and I was an author and I had a daughter. It was like, describe your day. And my day was like, I get up at 7 a.m., which is as a mom, sometimes I do have to get up that early, but it's so not what I ever
want
to do.
As a human, you're like, can I sleep until 10?
I would so much rather. I'm not a morning person. But like in the thing, like I woke up and like I went into the aviary and I, you know, fed all the birds. The walk-in aviary. And I mean, it was like 2 pages of all the tending to the animals. And it was like, and then I fed my daughter and then I sat down, you know, and then I did some writing and then just the whole evening routine with all the animals. It was just about animals.
Your daughter is also there.
Yeah. She was just barely there. Bird.
In addition to, I have Spawn. Anyways, back to the animals. Yeah. I love
Threw
it.
Threw her PB&J and went back out to the toucan.
Yeah. The toucan. I love it. And the husband in it was like less of a presence than an adult in Peanuts.
He's like a whisper of a human in your life.
Exactly. Like, I think he was probably at work all day and barely there. Yeah.
I'm crying picturing this. It's so funny.
I wonder if I can find it. I can find it somewhere.
This is how it starts. People will message us later and be like, you know, so I was in my attic because of you. And I was like, dope.
In middle school, they're fun. In grade school, they're whimsical. Mm-hmm. In high school, they're depressing as fuck because you just want to get the hell out of there.
Yeah.
But we had to write them and then we wrote them down and then yearbook put them together. They did all these little packets for all of us. So at graduation, we all have a book of our whole graduating class, which was 60 people, by the way. It was not stressful.
What tiny town did you guys grow up in?
Hell. It was called Hell.
Hell.
It's towards the coast and it's so
It's where they recorded a lot of Twilight.
Right.
Oh, so up in Washington.
No, it's in the
peak of Oregon, where Oregon goes up like a little nipple.
They did.
It's in the valley of the Nip.
It is right in the little nipple of Oregon. That is very true.
It's a little logging town.
I had thought Twilight was... Oh, wait. Did Twilight take place in Washington?
Both. Yes. Yeah. And it was recorded in like 3 different areas. Yeah. There's a ballroom on the Columbia River. And it's where Twilight had their prom. And then they sell Twilight soaps. And these soaps are the greatest smelling things I've ever put up my nose before.
What do they smell like?
Ooh, the Jacob one smells like woodsy.
Oh my God. They have different ones for different characters.
Yes. And then Edward's is like ambery. I'm like, ooh, a little bit of shimmer in it.
Bella ones smell like confusion and sadness.
It smells like a fart she thinks she ghosted. Yeah, no. So we went little town, and then there was the creation books. Every graduation,
that's what they
had little.
And we all wrote
future
in
books.
Yeah, our future books.
So cool.
So at our reunion, our 20-year reunion, they took those. They were just Xerox copies of our senior portrait, which Xerox is not the best quality.
No, out there. But mind you, Shannon was a model in the 90s, so her picture was something from one of her main cards,
her Zed card.
Yeah, she was working so much she didn't have time for cheesy barn senior shots. So she took her fucking headshot.
And
that's her picture.
That's amazing. What kind of model were you?
Internationally avoiding my parents.
No,
it was great. I loved it. It was awesome.
She was very famous in the Oregon newspaper circuit, grocery stores, which is funny. It comes full circle. She used to do Fred Meyer ads. And now our podfather, Allie Ward, is the voice of Fred Meyer.
Yeah.
So I'm like, she's got that Kroger thing down.
Brand, y'all.
Yeah,
that is amazing.
Comes full circle.
But I was really big in Japan, and I mean that literally because I was 2 feet taller than everybody that lived there.
She did like wedding catalogs and stuff for Japan that were like artistic and hauntings.
Sweeney Todd shit and like real weird Kate Spade shit back in the day, like weird runway stuff that was like crazy wild hair and dark horrible makeup and nipples showing on minors, which now I'm really really weirded out about, but it was like real creepy shit, but it was so fun.
That's so cool. Were you discovered in a mall? Because that's how it happens in small towns into my
shockingly,
mind
shockingly. So I got discovered in Portland by a neighbor because we were trying on hats in a real silly way at her garage sale, and we were just being shitheads in the full-length mirror she had at her garage sale. You just asked for it when you have that. So
this is so Blossom and Six.
It was, because those were the hats we were trying on too. It was real rough. But it was like in 93, 94. And she's like, have you ever thought about being a model? I'm like, kick rocks, neighbor. I'm hideous. I look like Bambi and I'm like androgynous as fuck. This is not happening. So,
but it was the 90s.
Right. So then was like, she was like, no, this is your thing. I didn't really say that. That's what my face was saying to her. So. And then I was like, my mom will never. And then mom was like, I might. Oh, I was a horrible model. They hated me because I just did whatever I wanted to. I wanted tattoos and shit. It was terrible.
This is the coolest thing I have ever heard ever. I'm so taken with this. I have some questions. Okay, so I read all the magazines. I read YM, Teen, 17, whatever the other ones were. Were you in any of those?
So I did YM 2 times, and I had friends that were on the cover of 17, and we like all cried. It was like a weird fucked up sorority in our model management group, because we had like all the sporty girls that did all the Columbia sportswear stuff, real classic Portland shit. And then we had some girls that were like so classically California beautiful that they made it into like Delia's. That was like our goal. And then I got a cover of a catalog in Japan, and I was like, yay. Like, it's not the same. That one's the coolest one, though.
Because you
way
look
more
like
money in
a
Japan.
Timber ghost.
Yeah.
But and that shit was artsy. And you came home and I was like, this
is the stuff. I did
not
appreciate it the way I should have at that age, because I got to go to other countries and do cool things. In hindsight, I'm like, oh, yeah, I was dumb. The America shit didn't matter and it didn't pay what everything else did. I should have really been more excited about runway shows and getting like Doc Martens samples. All right.
Oh, yeah. She was a Doc Martens model.
Oh, I did that. That was my coolest claim to fame, actually, now that I look back on it.
Sides of buses, catalogs, and then I grew into being the same size shoe as her.
Oh, right.
So I got like her cast off. Right. But Allison, I can tell you have podcasts. You know why?
Oh, shit. She turned the interview on
us again. You interviewed Shannon.
I know, but
yes, son of a bitch.
I'm sorry. Okay, one more. Bonnie, were you jealous? Did you want to do it?
No,
too?
Guess what? I got a great compliment every time that people said, oh, your sister's a model. This is my favorite compliment. Oh, I should put this on a fucking shirt.
Don't.
No, they'd go, well, you're cute too. You have such a pretty face.
Oh, that sucks. I was the
chubby
people.
Little sister that didn't I gave zero fucks.
No,
and
she really didn't. And she was more excited about the mail I sent back from Japan with weird stamps on it. But she was like super supportive and really excited about getting a fax from her sister in another country.
Mind you, this is like I'm in eighth grade. Like she left the country and I got a pager in eighth grade, a pink clear one. And it was a crazy summer.
Super cool. How long were you out of the country?
Large chunks.
Yeah, like
for
months at a time.
Yeah.
And we used to call her and prank her on different time zones. And I got this like voice recorder thing. And my mom and I, my mom was super into it. But we would call her with this voice recorder. And we would say strange things into it and then slow it way down. So it was like,
so it sounded like a serial killer?
Yeah. Right. So we'd call her and we'd play it and laugh and laugh while she was like crying in Japan.
Oh, well, little did they know that we actually had a person that was breaking into models' apartments and stealing their underwear.
Oh my God.
Which is like a huge thing in Japan because it's a disgrace to his family. It was like a big fucking thing.
A disgrace to whose family?
To the Japanese man's family, because
he was the town pervert.
Yeah, but they don't have shit like that over there. So like he turned himself in and committed himself as crazy because like his family shamed him. But while that was happening, my family's prank calling me, and the time difference is what, like 18 hours? And little did they know I was drinking profusely at like 16, half drunk, real delirious, and getting prank calls. That was a wild summer. It was awful.
Crazy.
To be completely honest, I was always waiting for the day that they were going to tell me they were kidding, because my self-esteem was still trash. So I think you're really smart.
Thank you.
But however, have you ever had a moment where you played it really cool, even though you had no idea what a person or a group was talking about?
Oh, yeah. Like all the time, because there are big areas of my knowledge that are just non-existent that you'd think I should know about as a person like with eyes and ears and, you know, who lives among other people. So I don't know anything about sports. So any sort of sports discussion. But we actually, let me amend that. I weirdly know a little bit about boxing and I know a little bit about hockey, but football, basketball, baseball, I don't really know them. Yes. So,
woohoo, sports.
And people have tried to explain football to me so many times, and I just, like, I'll think I get it. It's actually similar to, for my experience of studying Spanish in school, and then you go into
using it in real life.
Yeah, language lab, and I'm like, whoa, it's going way too fast. That's what I feel like watching football. Like, I can't possibly track what's happening. It's going way too fast. So, sports, I don't I don't. And then there's a lot of movies, like very big movies that I haven't seen. I can't handle horror. So
really?
Yeah, I just nod easily.
And smile and you're like, yeah, I know that sounds great. Yeah. Well, yeah. Oh, when that happened, for sure. Like,
yes,
let him roll
because,
with it.
Yes. This actually just happened on a podcast I was on where someone was like, the one with Stephanie Wilder Taylor, and she was like, it's like da-da-da, I don't know if you've seen that movie. And I hadn't, and I just let it roll. And I thought about coming clean, like, by the way, I haven't seen this movie. And then the moment passed, and there was another chance to say it, and I still didn't say it. So as far as she knows, I have seen the movie, and I can't remember what it was. It was like a very common movie. So
I do that with sports all the time, too. I love hockey, because people fuck each other up with hockey, so I find that really funny and entertaining.
We also have really good brain farts for ordinary words.
Oh,
we like to make up other things, but all of my hockey knowledge comes from Mighty Ducks 1 through 3 or Letterkenny.
All of it comes from Letterkenny, I swear to God. For me,
that's it. I don't know anything about hockey, but I can sure listen to some chirping.
I haven't seen Mighty Ducks.
You haven't seen Mighty Ducks?
I rewatched it the other day. I like that. So you're probably not like part of the Netflix docu-murder fan club.
Well, some of... I liked The Jinx.
Okay.
I liked... What's that one that... Making a Murderer?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I watched the first season of that.
Sad little dumb guy.
Yeah. Sad little dumb guy. Shannon should write the synopsis for things. She's like, oh, what's this one about? Oh, he's a sad little dumb guy.
Yeah, I actually do like some of those. And weirdly, I can watch just episode after episode of Law and Order SVU. Mm-hmm. And Daniel has been like, how can you tolerate this? Like, this is so, you know, because he's only seen one or two episodes. And I'm like, yeah, this is like a cartoon. It's like a comic book.
I used
book.
To watch CSI yeah. for, that used to be my CSI Vegas. Let's be clear. I can't Miami because Horatio drives Kelly crazy. My husband's like, if he takes his glasses off one more time, I'm going to freak out.
It's like the rock in his eyebrow. You're like, get over it,
100%,
man.
Yeah. I was picturing you liking more culty mystery shit than stabby shit.
Me?
Yeah.
Culty mystery shit.
Like things what that are like that a mystery or
like
crime.
40 prairie women went missing
or like maybe
found
like
10 years later.
Oh.
More Manson, less like, I don't know, East Area Rapist. I don't know.
I watched the whole Leah Remini Scientology documentary, and that shit was like, it was really cool to draw to. Like, I didn't have to be super focused on it.
Right.
But then when I was focused on it, I was like, wait, what are these outbuildings for? Like, well, hold on, let me rewind. Like, this shit's crazy. Who's in on this? John Travolta.
I didn't watch that. Although Daniel, my husband, was super into that. He's super into like a Scientology or a cult documentary. But I did
secret society shit gets me crazy.
Well, then you might relate to this. I got very sucked into the NXIVM stuff.
So NXIVM, I was into that.
She just raised her hand like she was in church.
Hands. Oh, NXIVM. Everything about NXIVM I've gone into because I'm like, how is this a thing?
Yes. So I watched The Vow. I watched Seduced. I listened to the CBC podcast. I began reading that guy's blog. I forget his name. Did you know that Sarah and Nippy have a podcast?
Yes.
I haven't listened to it yet either.
No, but like simultaneous, we haven't listened to it, but pending. It's happening. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, it's on my list. I find them so crazy fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also, there's so much Hollywood threaded through it that I'm like, this is crazy. Who's going down?
Right. The Allison Mack of it all.
Oh, yes. Stupid little
stupid, dumb girl.
Oh, it all comes back. That's rough.
Oh, what's that one about? This is stupid, dumb girl.
I didn't find her that sympathetic in The Vow, though.
Not even.
Even though
I
get the stupid, dumb girl thing, like, but still.
Yeah.
She did some bad things.
A lot of bad things.
A lot of bad things. That's right.
Cults, man.
I think it's so cool.
I think
it's so weird. I just like, we were raised such strong women by our parents. Our mom was like, you can dream big. And my dad's like, you can punch hard. Like, let's get.
My dad's like, you can be whoever the fuck you want. And then you can beat up whoever the fuck.
Yeah.
You want.
So whenever like I get into anything that's kind of culty and they're like, and I don't know what, and I just went with it. And he was so charming. And I'm like, how did you not See, mm-hmm. like, I feel like I have, like, a little too much
common sense. I feel like you would take over a cult and be like, all right, you're doing this all wrong.
We do activities now.
I was voted most likely to start my own cult in high school. I keep remembering that that was my superlative.
That's amazing. Most right? likely to start your own cult. Wow, I didn't get any senior superlative. I got robbed.
I took it as a real high praise. I was like, oh my God.
I'm a leader.
I have followers. This is like pre-Facebook and Instagram and everything, you guys.
Oh my God. See, I just think that's a compliment. Right? I think that's a compliment.
Okay. You're young yet, though. You still have all the time in the world right. to start a cult. Cults are trending. So
they super are.
I'm sure there's people out there just like looking for someone to follow.
It's, yeah. We're calling it a coven right now, but it could really turn.
Yeah.
It's fine.
But can I still call you Shepherd? Hell like you're yeah. my shepherd?
I'm into it.
Am I in Please your cult? I just joined your cult.
You're, duh, you have to. You're blood.
Oh.
That's the rule.
Shit.
Right? Yeah.
If you're blood, you're already in the cult. Right. Our exactly. brothers are like, what?
They're going to be so mad. They don't even know they're in a cult.
Sorry, guys.
Oh, it's fine.
Are your brothers all like feisty and individualistic as well?
Shocking.
Yes.
Yeah. That's, I was like,
this is a tough family.
We all went different paths. Rough. It's a fun show. Like, we're not.
Is it a shit show?
Yeah. We never really take anything seriously when we're all together.
How many of you are there?
Four.
Got it.
Yeah.
Yeah, we all have like the same weird sense of humor. Do you have sibs?
Flying I do. Blind, and I don't know about your sibling.
Yeah, I know. I have a younger sister who is 3 years and 9 months younger than I am. And she actually moved to New York first, and then I followed her. And we both lived there. And then I moved back. And then she moved back some years after I moved back. And she got married and had kids before me, but just a tiny bit before me. But
or is she younger than you or older than you?
She's younger than I am.
Oh, okay.
That's what
she's
I'm saying.
3 years, oh, nine
so
months?
She's just barely doing right. things before you, and you're like, know your place. Yes.
Right.
Stop.
Bonnie and I are 3 years.
3 months.
Okay. Who's so older? Oh, no, I already know. Shannon's older. Yeah. Yeah.
It's her wisdom shines through.
There's three things my sister did before me.
Oh.
And I will never let it go. And I followed her in her foot. No, four things. I'm sorry. Oh, my God. This is a big deal. Okay. She bought brown Doc Martens. Oh. And then I was like, those are cool. I'm going to get some of my own. But it was fine because at that point she was in high school and I was in college and like people didn't see us in the same shoes.
Okay.
But I gotta, you know, give credit where it's due. She did that first. Mm-hmm. She moved to New York first. Mm-hmm. She got married first and she had a baby first.
Oh.
I'm getting pissed.
Oh, well, you have to get divorced first. I'm just kidding. No! I'm just joking. I'm just joking.
I know.
I like your marriage. I'm just kidding. Thank you. Just had to say it out loud.
No, it's okay.
Ugh, okay.
Listen, don't you can do it. You can die first.
No, God damn you it, can. Buddy.
Yeah, I can. Come down with like a chronic illness first.
Oh,
I can
yeah.
have an okay. accident first.
You can have the wheelchair first.
Yes.
You have to have two wills. One is in the event that you die first. And then when it's read to her, it'd be like, huzzah, sister, finally.
I have beat
I
you
have
with
beat
something.
You at one thing. And then the other one is just regular. Just in
right. Oh my God. But imagine if they mix it up, it'd be.
Oh God.
Confusing.
But you know, I have you guys made wills? I haven't. I probably should.
I did because we, not to bring it down several notches, but our dad died and then I had a mild out of body experience and freaked out about my life. So I did a will.
Our stories are very different right. for how we did a will.
I went fucking bonkers because my son is special needs. And then I'm like, okay, well, my best friend always joked that if I died, I have to will my husband to her, just sorting out who gets the chickens. Like it got real weird for a little while.
Oh my God, you put where the chickens go?
Of course they do.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's you smart though. You should. You should.
Because the responsibility is super.
You throw them out like
up.
Doves.
No, they don't. They will not leave you.
I know.
They'll just follow you down the street. So I was like, you have to put them on this specific farm. I love all of you enough to know that you do not want the responsibility of dealing with these weird beasts.
Aww. How many chickens do you have?
So good.
That's not an answer.
I have a dozen. And then a couple old ladies.
Wait, you have a dozen chickens and a couple ladies.
A couple old ladies that I don't count because they stopped laying eggs.
Oh, I see.
So I always joke that I have like a dozen good layers and then two old bitches that like leave me an egg in the lawn like every 6 months just out of spite. They're just so mean.
And inside's just full of glitter.
Oh, that'd be so much better.
That'd be so cool.
Dust.
Yeah. So wills.
Yeah. I should probably make one, but I just haven't. But I know I need to, but it doesn't sound fun at all.
I wrote one down in a composition book 2 days after I did mushrooms when I was in college.
Fuck.
I saw some cool shit. And I saw what I wanted my future to look like. And then in the back of my mind, she was Sober Bonnie. And Sober Bonnie was like, all this magic isn't real. One day you're going to die. And I was like, yo, real Bonnie.
Whoa.
Go to sleep.
You're a real fucking downer.
We're tripping. I was fine on the outside.
Oh, okay.
On inside the inside, Bonnie. I had to make will. So I wrote it in a composition book and then I signed it. And I, at the time, I was mad at my roommate. And so it was like, my roommate doesn't get to sort or touch any of my shit. It was in my will. And then my friend to become a notary. And so she came over and I smoked a bowl with her and made her review my will and made her notarize bring her stamp. Will?
Yeah. Okay. Real tough question. Who the fuck would know where to look for said will?
Yeah. It was just in a composition book on my desk.
You have so many journals.
We're awful. Let's talk about high school, Allison.
Okay.
So were you in any clubs or activities? I had sports on there and then I just went ahead and mentally crossed that out.
I was on the tennis team for like 3 weeks.
You did three play sports.
But I played in one match. I was barely on the tennis team. Let me see if I can remember what happened. So it sounds like maybe Bonnie was, unless you're just exaggerating. I was just a chunky little kid.
Oh, yeah. I could eat some snacks.
Right. So my mom wanted to get me moving early. So I started playing tennis very young. And I was actually – I was good because I had lessons and started playing so young. So like at the point at which knowledge of the sport still gave you an edge, I was good. But this is Orange County, California. Like Olympian tennis players come from there. Mm-hmm. So at a certain point, my knowing good form and stuff could not compete with their like natural athleticism. So anyway, I signed up for the tennis team in high school. And before the year started, we had to meet up and practice would start with a 2 mile warm-up run. Ooh. I cannot run 2 miles. I still remember trying to keep up and like having to peel off to the side and just dry heaving.
Yes. I had asthma and I'd just walk around the track and be like, I barely run in softball. Just I'm a sturdy oxen. I can hit things. I can throw far. You don't want to lose me. So don't piss me off and let me be red faced and like barf a little in the grass.
Right. I had never experienced dry heaving from exertion. I was like, what is happening to my body? I feel like I'm turning inside out. So that happened a couple times and I was like, I'm not on board for this. And then the first day of high school, we had tennis before school started. And I had gone to a private school up till 8th grade. And this was my like big debut into the world of public school with boys that I didn't grow up with and I don't have to wear a uniform. So I just remember getting ready for my first big day of school in the bathroom and thinking like, I'm sweaty and now my hair is frizzy. This is not how I want my high school career to start.
Wow. Why would they do tennis before the first day of school?
I don't know.
That's gross.
I don't know. Yeah. Like before it started. Oh. I don't know how I transitioned from tennis team to PE, but I just know that I didn't last long on the team.
If I'm going to get ready for school, which I did a lot of in my first period class, like I'd run late to school and then do my makeup in my first period because like our teachers were legit. If I'm going to take a shower and be at school, like how dare you plan something? If we had like softball practice before school and I had to get like sweaty and then like gym shower, locker room shower, I would have just bounced.
Had crazy athlete shit in Portland because I was on swim team. Which was amazing because we started that in California where I was really good at it because I was very aerodynamic in the water. I was like very streamlined, flat chested. But then we came up here and they had a swim team at the school. And I was like, this is the only thing I know that I'm okay at other than softball. So like a water sport, not a sweaty outside sport. But then we had to shower before school. And I was lucky I didn't give a fuck about what my face looked like because I didn't
wear any makeup back then. Again, it was the 90s. We're so lucky. We'd like, can you imagine being like 15 years old now and like where every girl is sculpting and shadowing her face, drawing her fake nose
on. Ariana Grande's in my swim practice. There was Frankie Grande's. But there were no Arianas.
It was everyone was a plain face, like Claire Danes' ass girl.
And which that really was benefited
fantastic.
Me. And then I walked across the street to school and was like, here I am. It's 6:30 in
the morning.
My
hair's wet.
I've swam for miles. This day is going to be great. Mm-hmm.
Did you wear flip-flops to class? Because at my school, the water polo players, you knew them because they always wore flip-flops.
No,
because
I wasn't cool enough to like paint my toenails or anything. Like if anybody did makeup or did my nails professionally, that's how things got done.
Yeah.
I didn't do any of that. She would have that myself. I was such a tomboy.
Pastel white toenail polish on with her brown Doc Martin sandals for like until it chipped off.
Right. And then I'd be like, gross, put shoes on, dummy.
Also, it was Oregon. So Oregon was always like
socks and
rainy,
sandals.
Right.
Mossy and rainy.
Mm-hmm. Oh, in college was a big socks and Birkenstocks era for my friends and
socks
me.
And docks. That happened for quite some time. It was pretty great, actually.
So clubs. I also briefly was in the drama club and briefly because I feel like my school only briefly had a drama club, which is weird. I don't know what happened. Like the woman who was leading it disappeared or something. And then we didn't have that anymore. I think I flirted with speech and debate. And it was the same woman, by the way, who disappeared, but I also disappeared on that one.
You're going to have to look her up because now I'm curious.
Yeah.
Where'd she go?
But here was a weird thing which ties the tennis and the drama together. So I went to tennis camp in the summers because, again, my mom was trying to work off that chub, but without letting me know it was happening. So I went to tennis camp in the summers when I was a kid, but it was not a sleepover camp or anything. And I actually really enjoyed it. I look back fondly on those summers. And when I was, I want to say 8 maybe, I had a crush on this boy, Mark, who was 13. Is that pop? Yeah, 8. Maybe he was 12. Maybe I was 9. I don't know. But his name was Mark. I can't believe I'm forgetting his last name because
you wrote it on everything.
It was the kind of thing where whenever there was like a wishing well fountain situation, he was what I was, you know, making a wish on. I had such a crush on him because he had been nice to me. Mm-hmm. So I'm at my first day of drama club. I'm a freshman and there's a senior there and they're doing roll call. And I'm like, oh my God, that's him. And it was him. I had been reunited with him. And I believe this was my move. I had no move, but I think I asked him for a ride home from drama club. And then I just went to the payphones real fast. And I was like, Mom, don't pick me up.
Leave me here. I'm meeting a boy.
Yeah. Of course, nothing happened. I was like, I think I know you from tennis camp. And he was like, oh, really? And that was it. But still,
where do you live so I can drop you off?
Exactly.
Cool story.
You're so dumb though too at that age. It sucks.
Yeah.
I think that's the age where you always remember the name of your crush, and then if you like heard it anywhere, you'd be like,
oh, yes.
God. I just brought up like a grade school because we were talking about like boys we liked in grade school. And I was like, there's only one boy that I thought was like legit cute, but he dated my friend. And I mentioned him to my best friend from fourth grade. And she just looked me deadpan in the eye and goes, yeah, he died. And I was like, what? So we just got to go down a rabbit hole of like
he
died.
I
just talked about him on the last episode. And I said, I was literally just talking about him. And then she just looked at me like, her face was so deadpan. And she said, oh, he did. Oh, no. Here's the thing. It's like, she gives me all the information, but she does it very like nonchalant. And when I had follow-up questions, she was kind of like, shrug.
That's so obnoxious. God damn
I like it so, but it's like, she was like, why were you even thinking about him the other day? I was like, I don't know.
Because we have a nostalgia-based podcast.
Now I feel like his ghost is trying to communicate with someone, and maybe I am the vessel and I have been ignoring
the signs.
Oh, yeah.
I'll bust out some crystals.
Can I ask you guys a Pacific Northwest-based question, a PNW question?
Please. Smoke salmon.
No, do you think Kurt Cobain was murdered?
Absolutely. Yes.
You do? Okay.
100%. Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely.
I didn't think this. I was naive. I just, you know, I hadn't been red-pilled. I didn't believe this. And then it's a long story why, but I went down a rabbit hole and I found, you might even know of this guy, some guy who had been an investigator in Los Angeles. He has a whole blog and you can tell it's put together by someone where you're like, are you crazy? I think you might be a little crazy. It's similar to the blog I started following, the Nexium blog, where it's like, this is a guy who's going to tell a story. But anyway, he just has all these posts with all this evidence about why he thinks Kurt was murdered. And it was pretty compelling.
There's a podcast about musicians. It's like a rock and roll Hollywood type podcast mm-hmm. where they talk about like crimes and deaths and weird, mysterious shit. Mm-hmm. They do a Kurt Cobain one that is insane. The information that he digs up on stuff is wild.
I bet he found this blog.
I'm sure he probably did. I like that they don't bury Courtney Love in real shitty shit. They keep it real factual and it's like not an opinion piece. Because mm-hmm. like you could still think Kurt Cobain was murdered without shitting all over Courtney Love. That's fine.
I still can look at her and not trust her as far as I could throw
Oh, sure.
Rubbish.
I don't want her in my house. No. But like I don't wish her ill.
Well, the blog that I read was like suggesting that she was behind it. Behind the
I think she was
careless. I think she was also on drugs and I think she was really careless. Yeah. And I think that it was one of those like after you start to get clean and then you're being a friend and you supply drugs to somebody, they take the same dose they always have and they fuck themselves up. That's my thought.
I mean, what this guy thinks is that he was
intentionally
shot. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Someone who has addiction qualities in them may still have drugs in their system or be known by their friends and family to have drugs in their system. So what better way to off someone who already does that stuff? It's kind of untraceable at that point. Who can prove who did what?
That's right. Mm-hmm. You know what's weird? And this is one of those things that like
all
I really,
of us.
Yeah.
Everything we're saying.
I shouldn't open my mouth without really knowing exactly. However, but because we were talking about psychology earlier, mm-hmm. in the same way that I don't like horror stuff, really looking into how barbaric the history of mental health treatment mm-hmm. in the world is, like that I find very disturbing. So lobotomies and you know, early shock treatment and all that.
Like horror hospitals, like the abandoned ones now that I'm like, I want to go tour them and walk through them because I feel like they're haunted by all the people that weren't crazy. They were just women on their period getting locked up for hysteria. It's like, fuck you and your method.
That's why I send that meme to everybody that has the old timey doctor and the patient. It says, you got ghosts in your blood. Let's do cocaine about it.
Yeah.
Like, that's like the most real thing where you're like, that sounds crazy, but I'm sorry, but that's real.
Yeah.
Or like, let's put leeches on your eyes and see what happens.
I love the concept of bloodletting, and that's what I call my period in my house.
I find it so disturbing.
It's so gross, but anytime I'm having a bad day on my lady time, I just tell my dude, like, it's bloodletting. I'm bloodletting right now.
I'm letting the ghost out. I could do cocaine about it.
Yes.
But... So I think someone should look this up, but I think there was a period of time there where they used insulin to induce seizures, and it was similar to a shock treatment.
Oh, those motherfuckers. I bet they did.
How rude.
I'm not 100% sure, but I know there was some kind of injection that they would do. That would
and
induce
that's why,
a seizure.
Back disturbing. Into questions, because I feel like we could go on 85 tangents.
We're really I'm disturbing. Do you have something fun and flowery for us, Shannon?
Oh, I do. Kind of. Not really. Just kidding. No. As a youth, were you a good secret keeper or the friend you couldn't tell anything to?
Oh, a good secret keeper. Or the broken vault.
I was a good secret keeper.
Nice. I could see that. I was kind of on the fence. Maybe if you thought they were already in the know that you would be the spiller of the beans.
You know, I was a good secret keeper, but I had trouble not telling my parents. So I was like a bad secret keeper when it came to my parents. Like if it was something where I was like, oh God, I don't know. I feel like my mom and dad should know. Like I'm such a like a soft, good kid. Yeah, that I was like, okay, I have to tell you guys. To the extent that in high school, when I really did something out of character and this boy had asked me out and I wanted to go out with him, but I just did not want to have to like tell my parents and have them ask me 100 questions and then give me permission or not. So I masterminded a plan where my two best friends and I, Katie and Jen, Katie and I told our parents that we were going to spend the night at Jen's house.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
This is so classic. Even the names are classic. Mm-hmm. Katie's names.
Right?
Like
now, Jen actually was a very good kid. And she, I don't know, she like worked or something. But we were going to spend the night at her house. But before we arrived at her house, we and another friend were going out on a date with this guy and his friends.
Ooh.
But
poor Jen.
I know.
You guys double dated without her, and then she was your safety net.
Exactly.
I like
so
weird wingman. I like
alibi.
I was supposed to call my parents by a certain time mm-hmm. whenever I was, you know, out. And now that I'm an adult, I get that it's like, yeah, just if you don't call by that time, they're going to think something happened. But it, right. back then, I was like way too embarrassed to ask this guy who we were at some party in Irvine if I could use a phone. So I didn't. So my parents freaked out, and then they called Katie's parents, and then Katie's parents called yeah. Jen, and it was a whole thing.
It all unravels.
It unraveled, right. I just remember my dad thinking that this other girl had been the mastermind and that I...
Because you're so sweet and you could never...
Right, exactly. But little did he know, I was the mastermind of that. I was the architect of that bad plan.
I like it. And it wouldn't have fallen apart if you had just called home.
I know. If I had just called at the right time, it was it was my fault.
How old were you then?
16.
That's perfect. That's right about age. When I got about 15, 16 is when I ended up with the pager because of such situations mm-hmm. where I always had a good excuse of why I couldn't call.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I couldn't find a phone at the mall. We're
lucky for so many reasons. First of all, we didn't have to wear makeup to school and it was like no brainer, right. no big deal.
Based on today's
all comparison. You did was tweeze your eyebrows till they were nothing and then go to school.
You're like, hope to God your sweet alarmed yeah. commas were yeah. really on point.
Really pull those highlights through the helmet cap on the weekend and then go to school with highlights and you're good to go.
Ball chain necklace.
Oh God, the ball totally. Chain necklace. That was me.
I had the weird I had lacy all the plastic sizes. Bullshit. That was fun.
So good. But we didn't have to worry about hemp. Fucking phones. You knew the person recording in the room at like the basketball game you were forced to go to because he had a giant camera on his shoulder. You're like, cool. Stay away from that guy. We're not being recorded. You could get away with so much. You could say, I couldn't call because couldn't get to a phone.
There was somebody using couldn't the do the thing. Phone or it was out of order.
Her mom was working, so she was on the internet. Which meant you couldn't use the phone. Right. That was my number one excuse. Like,
straight up
the mom works from home, and that was such a crazy concept back then. Of like, what? She doesn't work from home. Like,
she's a lady.
She works in publishing. She's on the internet.
Oh my God.
I picked up the phone. It was all beep boop bop boop boop bop, and I was like, okay, gotta just go home later. It's fine.
Meanwhile, we were smooching boys. We were evil.
I wasn't.
I was evil.
I was a youth group.
That's right. Bonnie didn't get evil till adulthood. I was evil from birth. I liked nature until I liked boys.
Ooh, I have a question about dating.
Ooh, yes, please.
Allison, do you remember your first real date?
I think it was that night, the one that I just mentioned. Yeah.
Where did you guys go? What did you do? Besides getting caught, okay. Like what did you do on this date? You didn't get in trouble till later.
His name was Peter, and we met at a coffee house called Rockin' Java. And by the way, Rockin' Java was my main hangout in those days.
I had coffee time. It was open till 2.
I love it. Yeah, Rockin' Java was open late too. They had a ping pong table. The works.
Yes.
Peter, I cannot find him online anywhere. I don't know what happened to him. Of course I do.
Some boys from our generation, I say this like we're 85. Why do I do that? I don't need social media.
Yeah.
It's rude. It's very rude for us.
You're like, I just need to know if you're bald or not.
You know, a friend of Peter's who was also with us that night, and I'll tell you where we went because it's funny.
Yes, please.
Later told me that he moved up north with his old lady. And I've always wondered ever since then. Is that his girlfriend or his mom?
Oh, his old lady. That's his like ball and chain. That's his wife or girlfriend.
That's such a weird thing. That's like when you say your dog went to go live at a farm in Connecticut.
I had a guy friend who moved anywhere with his mom. I wouldn't mention it. I would just say he moved up north.
When I said it, did you interpret that as his mom or his girl?
No.
His
lady.
Girlfriend?
He immediately turned into a biker and had a weird old wife.
He had like the tattooed like biker vest on. This is my old lady. Yeah. But also like my dad and his friends would refer like, this is my old lady.
She looked like Dolly Parton and she was on the back of his
car. Yeah.
Like they just rode off into the sunset.
I was 16. I'm a real late bloomer. I was 16 and he was 19. He worked at Mervyn's in the housewares department.
Hell yeah. Discount candles.
The funny thing is that age difference seemed so old then. Now I think a 19-year-old, that is a child. I would think of a 19-year-old as a child. But anyway, so we met at Rockin' Java and then we drove to Aliso Beach. Now, what I didn't know, although I should have put it together, was the beach was contaminated and it had been like shut down. But we just snuck through the tape and hung out there anyway.
Sexy, sexy.
Yeah.
You break danger into places. That's hot.
And then some weeks after that, I can't remember the timeline, but one of our friends came down with hand, foot, and mouth disease, usually something that only little kids get.
Yes.
And then I got it.
Dirty sand in your fucking
it's
mouth.
It's literally from putting your stupid feet in your mouth. dirty sand.
I was just sitting there at the bonfire while he like drew circles around me with lighter fluid, like something out of the movie Legal Eagles. I haven't seen Fight Club, but I have seen Legal Eagles. It was actually, I was like, okay, well now I just feel sort of scared.
That's kind of awesome.
Yeah, it was really very pyrotechnic of him.
First date with this guy.
The beach.
You're just like going along with whatever.
So, yeah, I was like one of those people who's like, I don't know how I ended up in a cult. Like I was definitely along for the ride.
Okay.
I have a lot of friends like you and I like it.
I know we ended up at someone's house later because we were outside talking and their neighbor yelled at us. And that's the house where I didn't feel comfortable asking if I could borrow a phone to call my mom. Mm. Then we went home and then all hell had broken loose. And then I did see him a few more times. We mostly just went to someone's house where there was a party. I'm trying to remember anything fun we did. I really can't remember.
Well, he played with fire.
Yeah, he was into fire.
That was the main event.
Exactly. So that was the first day.
Were you like a drinker, a partier, or were you observing all the things?
I was observing all the things. I did have sips of alcohol a few times in high school.
I was a hair holder for my friends that were like 0 to 60, like I can party. And then they couldn't party. Yeah.
We call that crying ass drunk. So that's a lot of my friends were like that. I was like, I'm a seasoned veteran. Let's beer bong. I don't know why I turned into a redneck, but I did. But then my 0 to 60 friends were like, how do you do it? I'm like, I have no idea. I drank in Japan. I learned in another country.
You know, those
I'm seasoned.
You know, those barfs that they do on like 2000s, 90s sitcoms
where they heave,
but it's like
back.
Their sleeve. And it's just like, wah. I Boone's Farm rainbowed times that I was just like, I don't really have like a tenderoni gag reflex. Like it's not like super hopping, but give me some Boone's Farm. Four Loko Bon was real good at this, but it was the colors. And it's just like, once my throat was like, it's time. My mouth was just like I'm fucking Muppet. Like I was just like, argh. So I did that enough times that I was like, I don't want to be this girl. And then I was like hair holder girl.
Aww. Yeah. Later in my life, I definitely threw up from drinking a number of times to the point where someone in our group who I didn't know that well was like, she throws up a lot.
Oh, no.
Yeah. It's weird how those things stick with you, right?
Yeah.
Like a random comment from a person that was like not even on your radar to affect you.
Right.
You're like, exactly. Oh, an almost stranger has an opinion on my behavior.
Yeah.
I'd be like, why are you watching me barf so much?
Right. Yeah. I think I did internalize it, though. I was like, oh, I should take a look at this.
It's the psychology of you.
Yeah. Exactly.
Psychoanalyze this.
Your six-year-old stranger is like, okay, girl, we have to hide our barfing from said stranger.
Right.
We're
not safe here.
Right. See, and I can't do weed. I can't handle the marijuana.
Yeah.
That's not. I fall asleep in a hall. It's been proven time and again. I'm not even.
Let's talk vices.
It's a. Were you ever a stony baloney, Allison?
Yeah. In college, I was.
Like the appropriate time?
I guess. But the appropriate time, but also like the entire time. I mean, that's actually not true. Around the last couple of years, I didn't do it a lot, but it was so pervasive the first couple of years of college. And I think I thought I liked it at the time, but I look back and I think like, I don't think that was really that fun. I don't know why we felt compelled to do it 100% of the time.
Because that's in theory what you're supposed to do in college.
I guess. Right.
It was like illegal then.
Oh, yeah, the rebellion was much different.
That's true.
Yeah. Did I like it? Do you have a mind
Maybe this
spiral?
Is why you don't remember a lot of the movies you've watched. Oh, you've seen point. Them in past.
Maybe I have seen them.
Yeah, you can
Maybe
go back
you
through your stoner memories.
You're like, you know what? Everything's fine.
There are three movies that I know that I saw. I got stoned before, so I don't remember anything about them. One was Muppet Treasure Island, because I saw it in the theater.
Haunting. Haunting.
In the theater.
Hang on. In the theater, yeah.
That is bold.
Oh, God. Yeah, you have That's to be high to see me. That one.
Yeah, I think we got high in the car.
That's
yeah,
the problem.
Smart.
Also high in the car before seeing Tom and Viv. And like, that's a pretty heady, but also heavy movie. No recollection of it. And then also there's a movie called The Night We Met, I think, which I saw at my friend's house and we got stoned beforehand. And her mom came home at some point during it. And I just remember she's like, oh, you changed your hair to me. And I'm like, oh, I used to have bangs. And I spent the entirety of the movie like wondering, was that a normal exchange we had?
I don't remember the movie at all. That's actually my fucking favorite. Okay, so I have like three memories from smoking weed when I was younger because I didn't do it very often. My best friend and I, she had a very cool older brother who was also hot. So he could have told me to set myself on fire and I would have. But we went over to his cool new apartment. He put on Enya. And then we smoked crazy bong rips and I laid on the smooth floor. Enya will never be the same, but I still listen to it all the time. I'm like, it'll never feel as great as it did when I was laying on the floor. It's so weird. I was really feeling it because I'm already that person in my soul. So it was really fucked up. I just heightened myself too far and then I fell asleep. But I watched that Mira and what's his face make a porno.
Zach, yeah.
I watched that high and all I did was turn to people the entire time and ask questions. And it was the first time everybody's seen it. That is my biggest movie pet peeve too, by the way, when people watch a movie and they ask you and I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah, you're seeing what I'm seeing in real time.
But then someone's mom that still lived with them, older, came in and sat down between all of us and started watching it with us. That's the worst. Because bad movie, so high, inappropriate aged parent in the same room. And I'm like, oh, I want to leave. This is so bad.
I used to have bangs. I'm loving you just like wondering the rest of that whole movie being so high that you're like, is that a normal response to an adult human?
I remember another time in college being so high and my friend, you know, we all had these little mini fridges and my friend opened his mini fridge and was like, do you want a beer? And I spent what felt like 2 hours being like, did I look like I wanted a beer? Why did he ask me that? Like, what was I staring at the beer? I mean, oh my God.
You high plus you're just already like nature nurture psychoanalytic.
Right.
Like, you were born this way and then your family's this way. So
I know.
You're really so into.
Ooh, now that our brains are all slow and gooey, let's hop into fast reactions.
This or that.
And we're going to give you two options that Allison, you must choose between.
Okay.
And we are doing a special best friends edition.
Ooh.
And I'm very excited.
Yes.
Shannon, would you like to kick it off?
Hells yeah. Okay, so these questions are about what kind of friend you are and what kind of friendships you enjoy and things about friendship.
Great.
Friends who jog together or lounge together?
Lounge.
Friendship bracelets or those cool broken heart BFF necklaces?
So broken heart things.
Ooh. Yes. One bestie or group of tight pals?
Group of tight pals.
Mixtapes or love letters?
Love letters.
Pinky swear or cross your heart, hope to die?
Ooh. I'm going to say cross your heart, hope to die.
I like that. That's like my favorite question.
Same.
Cootie catcher or masho?
Ooh.
Or what? Or which one?
Mash. Masho.
What's
mansion?
Yeah, mansion, apartment, shack, house. Yes, I don't know what the O is. What's the O?
We said office before. No, outhouse. Somebody said.
Oh, wait.
Apparently, there's a lot.
Yeah.
The O version is a lot of.
I hate the O version, but I just didn't want to say it at first.
I live in an office.
Yeah,
I'm going to say mash over cootie catcher or masho, but I've only ever done mash.
Okay. Ooh, I got back into cootie catchers like a year ago and I started making a lot of them. Yeah, I did them at work with my best friend.
I don't think I would know how to make one anymore. I'm gonna have to look that up.
Me neither. I would probably have a child make it for me and then I would write it.
Are they still making them?
Yes, it's crazy. They're starting to fold their notes like we did.
Yes.
Oh,
like nostalgia.
Here's a tiny shirt.
Yes. Here's
this is shaped like an arrow, but if you unravel the arrow, you'll never make it back into an arrow.
Right. Like a map.
Yes.
Pull the triangle.
Do you guys remember like the hand clapping games like Miss Sue, Miss Lucy had a steep at that? I wonder if they do any of that anymore.
I do it with my son because he really likes it.
Miss Mary Mac all dressed in black.
Yeah.
Or Down by the Bay.
Yeah.
Those
are fun.
Absolutely. I love that shit. Sharing clothes or sharing boyfriends?
Clothes.
I don't know. All my friends stole all my fucking boyfriends.
I mean, neither of them really.
Right.
But
she's like, I don't want to share anything.
Yeah.
get your own clothes and boyfriend.
Yeah.
Mani pedis or facials?
Ooh.
Mani pedi.
This is probably my favorite round of This or That so far.
Yeah, that's really fun. The favorite part of the show for me.
For me too.
But maybe not for you. Depending on how
you're
gonna
feel. You're going to like it, but you're going to like hate it first.
We would like to sit here and compliment you while you take it.
Absolutely. Oh boy.
If you don't mind.
Number one, I'm going to pick favorites because I am a Childish fan. Greg is great. Whatever. I'm not talking shit on Greg. But I am Team Allison, number one.
Thank you.
Your kids are fucking awesome.
Aww.
You are a super exceptional mom. I love the way you talk about your kids. You're super realistic. You're very down to earth. I like when you admit that you don't know all the things about a thing and you ask questions about stuff. You're super smart and very relatable, but you're also like
personable.
So human and personable. Yeah, that's part of what made me want you to be a guest on our show. I find you endearing and smart and charming and fascinating, and you've lived 5 lives. You're not an old woman. You've done so much shit in all the years you've been on the planet so far. You're wise beyond your years, but you're still like youthful and humble and kind. I just really am so excited that you're on the podcast.
That's so nice. Thank you. That is so, so, so nice.
I will admit I was a little nervous because lately, like the past few years, your name is everywhere.
What?
Everywhere we turn.
Everywhere.
You have fans everywhere. Everyone always talks about you. And every time I see something in my feed on social media, it always ties back to you. And I'm telling you, like, you are in a household name and you don't even realize it.
Oh my God. That is so crazy nice to hear because like, I hear all that and I'm like, oh, okay, that's not true though. But thank you.
No, for sure.
No, it really does. She said that she was, guess who I'm talking to? Guess who might be on her podcast? And I was like, no, because she's already podcasting all the other cool people. Like, why would she want to be on our podcast? She's doing all the things.
We had fangirl weird.
You're just so chill straight out the gate. And you made me feel more comfortable. This is my house, but I was a little nervous.
I get it.
You're just so nice and you're so open and I feel like we can talk to you about anything. And this is probably why you are everyone's new best friend is because you're just such an open person. And I really appreciate you taking time out to hang out with us. And I like you so much. Everyone likes you, but I like really like you. You're so cool.
Thank you. Honestly, this makes me feel thank you. I totally drank up all of those compliments. Yay, that was so good.
Yay.
Yeah. I feel like especially in the pandemic, it's like very easy for anyone, no matter what their job is or like what they're doing in their life, to begin to feel like I feel invisible. Like this is what a weird
like
time.
A little lost in it.
Yeah. So thank you. That was very nice. And I love talking to you guys. I feel like we could have talked for hours.
Seriously. I truly agree with that.
We went on
you.
Some tangents and the tangents are always so like weird and wobbly and you kind of don't know where they're going to go. And I like that. And sometimes I just turn to Shannon and be like, this is going to roll right into my next question. Or like, I'm skipping a question because this is really fun.
Oh, I had one last question and I don't fucking care about it because it was a random I was going to ask you what kind of animal you would want to be if you were an animal. It was like the dumbest question, but I was like, no, we've had
we are not
really
journalists.
Good, like that question is bullshit. I don't even want to ask that question. It's so dumb.
Well, I think you could probably guess what my obvious automatic answer is.
A bird.
A duck.
A duck.
Oh, yes.
A duck. But if I weren't a duck, I'd be a koala. But I'm going to go with duck. I do love koalas, though.
Oh, well, you had a whole alternate life plan of being an animalist of all the things. So I was like, oh, this is a loaded
question.
I just
am picturing your aviary in this husbandless house that has a husband.
It does have a daughter, yeah.
I'm picturing like rolling cottage hills with like a forest in the background, maybe a stream. But it's like that, like that gothic Victorian, like almost English style that has like that greenhouse section in the back. That's the aviary. Where it looks it's all steamed up, but it's got all the plants that just take care of themselves.
I just pictured
this.
I love that.
In there. Like, you know, when you go to the tropical portion of the zoo, only it does.
And you're like, birds, you're too happy. Shut up. They're so loud. I love birds. I love birds. Well, Miss Allison Rosen, can you tell all the people where to find you, find your podcast on all the socials so they can just openly come for you?
Please come openly for me. I am at Allison Rosen on Twitter and Instagram. And it's A-L-I, just one L, A-L-I-S-O-N-R-O-S-E-N. and my podcast, Allison Rosen's Junior Best Friend, and also Childish, wherever you get podcasts. At AllisonRosen.com for like all the other stuff.
All the things.
All the other stuff.
Also, congratulations on your 100th episode of Childish.
Oh, thank you.
I love it. Please bring back talking about cloacas. I am here for all of your chicken information.
I need to do that.
Needs.
I'm going to go ahead and give you the bonus closer.
Ooh. Okay.
As we bid adieu to you, can you go ahead and give young Allison some advice from current Allison?
Oh, young Allison, don't go to a contaminated beach. It's not worth it. Don't do it. He's going to leave you with his old lady and you won't know what it means for years. And he doesn't even believe in the internet. Also, just trust that it's okay to be yourself and you don't need to be so afraid and you don't need to worry so much about fitting in.
Amen. Oh, I love it so much and we love you and thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye, everyone.
Bye. Oh, that episode was so good.
Cathartic as fuck.
We feel so good. We hope you feel so good.
I'm so energized.
Right? And if you are feeling energized and you want to hop on the internets, go ahead and give a little rate and review and support us so hard with your hearts and your thumbs anywhere you can rate a podcast.
You could put that energy into some good vibes for us.
I'd love that.
Where could they find us if they were like looking around the social medias?
We are on Instagram and Twitter under No, You Are That.
Yeah, don't forget the no. And then I think we're on the Facebooks.
We are. We have a Facebook group and we have a Facebook page. So you can either participate or just follow along by liking our page.
Just be aware. Give us thumbs up. Yeah. Do what you do. I like it. And if you want to give us some monies, like even like $1 a month, which is rad because it fuels this little show. Mm-hmm. It's on Patreon at, what is it again?
Patreon.com/ You Are That.
God, you're so good.
Thanks. You are that.
Oh!
We also have a merch store if you want to participate by putting things on your bods or around your home. Mm-hmm. Not everything is super logo-y. There's stuff that fits all kinds of personalities, and we think you're going to enjoy it.
It's true.
Thank you so much for listening.
Thank you.
Pass it on to a friend if you're feeling charming. Go heartily stalk our guest.
Please do.
Okay, so are there tricks for discerning the difference in your voices? And by the way, like my mom, my sister, and I all have the same voice, so I get it. Oh,
good. Okay. We try to address one another by our names if we're asking questions or commenting on stuff so that you could keep track of it.
Got it.
And so our listeners don't get sick of our stupid voices.
Also, Shannon talks about chickens a lot, and I say fucked up vulgar stuff.
Okay. Bonnie's more likely to talk about vaginas and dicks.
And you talk about chickens. Yeah.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.